Welcome to the Seeking Certainty podcast, where advice starts with your best interests in mind, helping you achieve more in your financial life. And now, here's your host, founder of the Certainty Advice Group, Jim Stackpool.
G'day everybody, Jim Stackpool, founder of Certainty Advice Group, with another in our Seeking Certainty podcast series, where we aim hopefully to help more of you find that financial certainty for you, that's unique for you based on your unique circumstances. We try to cover the trends that's to help you understand the market you're operating in, if you are in fact in the market for advice. The pitfalls particularly to avoid, to save you wasting time and more important, your money and long-term effort to make sure your money is working as effectively as possible for you in the marketplace. Today's topic is on this Royal Commission, the Banking Royal Commission run by Judge Haynes. Into banking advice, insurance, and mortgage. It's endemic. It's throughout the whole delivery of the advice market, and it touches us all. Interesting to note, just last week, an internal audit conducted and exposed by the Royal Commission from Commonwealth Bank showed that some 64,000 customers had been sold some insurance products. So 64,000 had been sold credit card policies while unemployed, which in fact made them ineligible for one of the key features of the product, which was insurance. 64,000 people, how did that happen? So there will be huge potential for change from this. And so it's really important to understand the market you're operating in, because that's still how, a lot of ways, that we are operating, where it's run by, as you'll hear from Paul Gilby, how it's run by product. And so Paul is from highwood.com.au in beautiful Perth. Expertise for Highwood and his partner, Julie, working with busy and complex families in Perth in particular. But I started my interview with Paul just asking him, what is the one thing behind all this lack of standards, lack of expectations being met by the community that comes from the insurance, banking, financial planning and superannuation industry? What is the one thing?
Look, I think it's the whole moving clients from product to product in order to be remunerated, whether that be by commission or by, you know, an ongoing service fee or whatever the case may be. But the way the industry is structured by and large means that there's just such a incentive for advisors to be moving clients from a perfectly good product into another product to do nothing but to facilitate remuneration.
And this is systemic? This is just the way the industry is?
Oh, of course it is, yeah. Very much so.
And the origins of that is simply because the industry is so dominated by the product providers as compared to non-product providers like yourself at Highwood Partners?
Yeah, that's right. Is that, you know, the overall structuring of the industry is that standing behind most advisors is a product provider. I mean, having said that, our licensee is a product provider as well. So, you know, I guess we need to be a bit careful, but we remunerate ourselves in a way where it's not product, we're product agnostic.
Well, but there's not many, if any, products, any licensees that are not in their own right product suppliers.
Yeah.
Which again comes back to systemic issue, does it not?
Yes, it does. Yeah, and I think, you know, there needs to somehow be a distinction between advice and sales.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if I go back to my own bank experience, everything I did, the way I was remunerated, was as per the way a salesman would be remunerated, not the way someone who was providing advice is remunerated. Look, I've been out of the banking system for 15, 20 years, but I doubt anything has changed dramatically.
And so anyone listening to this to understand, in your view, the subtle difference between being remunerated as a salesperson, being remunerated as an advisor, you'd say what they should be looking for is what?
Well, I guess if a person that's remunerated as a salesperson has, you know, targets to meet in terms of whether it be numbers, funds under management, that sort of a target in terms of so they can reach goals, get bonuses, et cetera, et cetera. Advice would be remunerated on the basis of quality of outcomes and things like that.
And there you're talking quality of outcomes that clients are achieving in their life.
Yes, you know, quality of outcomes for the client, not quality of outcomes for the firm or the advisor, because those things follow. You know, you look after your client, well, the rest of it all falls into place, doesn't it?
Yeah. So you're saying the number one priority that's caused this level of
dissatisfaction the community has that their standards and expectations are not being met by banking super investments, etc. That's created this question about the governance and the culture of some of these groups is this sales slash product origination. That's where it's all originated from, the basis of building everything based upon a sale or a product delivery.
Yes.
Okay. And so what you would then see, what would you like if the commission and commissioner could make one recommendation, one change, what would you be hoping that to be?
Well, I think, and I don't quite know how you would do it, but I think there needs to be a very distinct difference between sales and advice. You know, we currently have that distinction between general and personal advice. I don't think that achieves anything at all, to be perfectly honest. No one understands it. You know, I don't fully understand it, and clients aren't going to fully understand it. But, you know, if somehow there was a distinction between, well, I am a salesman, and you don't have to use that term, but I am an agent, to go back to the old life insurance days, you know, I'm an agent of whatever institution versus I'm an advisor, you know, a product agnostic advisor, whatever terminology you want to use. So at least a client will have a little bit of an inclination as to what they're dealing with and the modus operandi of the person that they're dealing with.
And what other, again, for the people listening to this, what other clues should they be listening for when they are thinking they're getting advice to make sure they're avoiding getting a sales job? What other clues in the conversation should they be listening for?
How is the person sitting in front of you remunerated? How are they paid? What bonus structures are they under? What commissions do they receive? You know, follow the money. It normally gets you where you want to go, doesn't it?
Yeah, normally it's pretty clear.
And what's your hopes? You know, we've seen the Wallace Inquiry years ago. We've seen Murray. We've seen Ripoll. We've seen the Stephen Sedgwick report, the life insurance. We've now got Justice Haynes doing the Royal Commission. What's your take on all these investigations? Oh,
if I'm totally honest, my hope's not that high. I mean, if you look at what they've done from the previous reports is just burden us with more compliance, but I don't think it's achieving any great client outcomes. You know, the fee disclosure regime just creates a bucket load of work for us, and I'm not aware of it creating any great positive for clients. You know, they'll come in and ask as part of a review and ask the question, but you know, I just don't see how it's creating any great outcome for clients. I mean, maybe for other advice firms that aren't providing service, it's a different story because clients are getting a document showing that they're paying $3,000 and from someone they've never heard of. So, you know, maybe in other offices it is having a positive outcome and that those clients are turning the tap off, for the want of a better word. But certainly in our office, it is just a burden. It's a time commitment that we have to do every month I can't see any positive outcome for clients. So my fear is that this Royal Commission then lobs in the politicians' laps and they just come up with some other harebrained ideas that burden us but don't actually help clients.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it hinder clients because we just have to charge them more and more.
Yeah, and it plays to the hands of the big providers who've got big compliance departments.
Probably.
Any other comments, Paul?
Not really, just here we go again, basically.
Okay.
When will it ever end? I mean, as you rattled off all the inquiries and different things, and has any of them achieved anything positive for clients? I would struggle to come up with an instance.
Yeah, I relate back to the Berlin Wall, you know, the whole long sequence of events that brought that down pretty quickly. And I'm hoping that, yet again, sentiment and the whole trust aspect, you know, we're now distrusting the cricket team, not only the Catholic Church and not only Facebook and the politicians and Trump, etc. We're now distrusting, you know, and the banks have been a big whipping board for some time.
I guess the only thing is that you know, the educational requirements, and again, there's still a bit of water to go under the bridge with those. But you know, if that is a bit, to use your Berlin Wall analogy, if that is a tipping point to get rid of, to have a bit of a clean out of guys in, you know, 2024 or whatever it is that sort of kicks in, if that's a point where a lot of guys go, look, this is just too hard and we've got to get out, that may be a positive. I mean, not totally. I mean, there's a lot of advisors that wouldn't meet that educational requirement that would still be very, very good advisors.
Well, again, yeah, and I think in the reading through, which I did, of that legislation, the proposed legislation, it is still around product And so we still think that you could still write TOES and get TOES signed. You can't get an SOA signed if you haven't got the education requirements. I think the market will figure that out. And I think it also, hopefully not watered down, but the intent is good.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because, you know, I'm sort of looking, you know, I've got two master's degrees and a certain certified financial planner, and there's still a chance I'll have to go back and do some stuff, which, you know, I'll just shake my head and go, well, I mean, I'll just do it, but shake your head and go, well, really, if I have to go back and do stuff, who gets out of it?
Well, I think it's also the other thing is that these guys are meant to be the specialists on what's required for professional training, and the whole emphasis of the professional training is still around, as you said before, it's still around the sale of a product. And you know yourself, some of the best advice has nothing to do with product. It's just simply stop worrying about your money, you know. And there's a lot of great advisors like Highwood Partners that are giving lots and lots of value, and there may not even be any product shift or movement required.
Well, and I would suggest in greater than 50%, you know, moving product is surplus to requirements. I mean, it's just creating work for us that doesn't create a big impact for the client.
Yeah. And I think that in itself, if we get an environment that allows people like you to do that and gets rid of some of the other crap which has been held out there as advice, but it isn't just simple. It's just about shifting one product and switching and then we'll have a better outcome. But yeah, let's see what happens, passage of time.
There you have it, Paul Gilbey from highwood.com.au in Perth. Well, what's your take on that? I've got really one big take on it, and that's Paul's distinction between what is advice and what is sales, and I hope you pick that up. And it's all based upon remuneration. And so whilst it might seem a bit affronting, but I think essentially what Paul's suggesting, if there's any doubts in your mind, any at all, that you may be getting sold as compared to getting advised, the question you've got to throw out, and this might seem un-Australian, excuse me, how are you actually paid? And are they paid when the loans are undertaken or the assets are placed, the insurances are underwritten, or are they paid on the quality advice that's given? If they squirm or hesitate, it's probably a sense that you are, at least you may then know, you're getting probably sold to as compared to advised to. And I guess the other key thing I must, in reflection too, I picked up from that is how often and for how long have people really just been shifted from maybe one loan to another or one insurance product to another or one credit card to another that has no real benefit for the person making the move but obvious benefits for the people that are selling the move. How long has that been going on for? Anyway, that's the situation. So hopefully forewarned, forearmed helps you better make better decisions, I should say, to get better certainty, clearer, unbiased advice to help you take that path forward that gives you the returns you want in your financial life. Love to hear your feedback. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to sharing another podcast in this series pretty soon. Cheers for now. Jim Stackpole signing off.
Thank you for listening to the Seeking Certainty podcast with Jim Stackpoole. To access all the materials from today's show or to join in the conversation, head on over to seekingcertainty.com. Please let us know what you think. We'd love to hear your feedback. Seekingcertainty.com.